Inside the 200, Tropical Squall led the way. Up on the inside, Steffi Magnetica. Learning to Fly is grinding. Tropical Squall's kicking hard. Steffi's in for the fight. Tropical Squall a neck in front to Steffi Magnetica. Tropical Squall clings on. Tropical Squall and Adam Hieronymus combine for another Group 1 success. It's Think It Over, a length to Lindemann. Fangirl is closing in. It's Think It Over, a length and a half to Fangirl. Think It Over's kicking hard. Think It Over wants it. Fangirl can't get there, and the King of Kembla, Think It Over, was able to beat Fangirl.
So the front runner now, V8, claims Hey Fat Cat, but Southport Tycoon looks the danger. V8 about a neck in front. Southport Tycoon moves up boldly. Southport Tycoon takes the lead, draws a neck, draws three quarters of a length in front, and won the Australian Guineas.
G'day punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews Review Podcast, where we will be looking back on Australian Guineas Day at Flemington and, of course, the very elegant stakes, a bit of a boil over at Randwick. We do apologise for the lateness of this podcast, but we're still getting a bit of data and I've been a little bit busy as well. But Will Alford, how are you doing, mate? Obviously, tough day on Saturday for the punt.
Yeah, I'm still recovering from the complete strip out that was Australian Guineas Day, but that's what we got Newmarket Day for, and I reckon we're going to get a price about Imperatrice to absolutely smash into. So,
spoiler alert, me and Bot are disagreeing. Yeah. So, it's going to be a fiery podcast on Thursday. We've obviously got the King, Kingsley, on, so that's going to be something to look forward to. But, Bot, let's go to Flemington first. Let's not muck around. Rail was out too. There was a Southerly.
Yeah.
How do you think that had an effect on the races, both around the circle and the straight?
Well, the circle races were a genuine four, and the straight was a bit slow. It was about a five. So the circle races, three out of the five winners were top two in running, so the first two in run at the 800 metres, and all the straight races won by a horse that settled in the first four at the 800. So, and no horse came from further than three lengths from the speed at the 600 metres all day. So regardless of whether it was in the chute or the straight or in the circle races, it was tricky to make ground all day. And that was, I don't exactly know the reason behind that. I think they might have done something with the track or some special thing. I think Vince Accardi was talking about on his podcast. I can't remember exactly what it was called, but I think they're just sort of preparing it for next week and the coming weeks. So, but yeah, obviously there was a 25 to 30 kilometre southerly throughout the day as well, which sort of helped the leaders kick around the turn and didn't make as much of a difference down the straight as I thought it would, because they were sort of winning down the inside. Maybe that was just the superior going all day. So, that's how Flemington played.
All right. Well, the first race we're going to start in is race four. It was the Furphy Trophy, 1,000 metres listed for the two-year-olds, and Bold Bastille's been able to get back into the winner's enclosure after what you would probably say was a disappointing run as an odds-on favourite first up in the Prelude. Gone around at $1.85. She's led this at a fast enough gallop for the class, sort of five lengths above the all-average benchmark. The only horse they backed to beat it was Drifting, who hung in there for second, was a really good run. They cleared out from third, fourth. Gunzinger Love was sort of ran a good race, and then you can probably forget about the rest. But Bold Bastille, back to 1,000 metres, back in the winner's enclosure, and this was a good performance.
Yeah, it was really good. I think that's the key to her. I think she's not going to be a 1,200 metre horse. I think she's more of a high cruising 1,000 to 1,100 metre horse. I think some of those 1,100 metre Caulfield races, maybe like the Caulfield Sprint or something like that, those races as a three-year-old filly or something are going to be completely made for her. So, yeah, this was a good win. It's actually rated pretty much the bang on what the Blue Diamond did, and it's a different scenario. And I'd say if she was in the Blue Diamond, she probably wouldn't have run this rating. She probably would have blew up over a high pressure 1,200 meters. But the way this race was run and down 1,000 meters, she's run this rating, so she's clearly effective at the shorter trips and. Yeah, she's good, and obviously Drifting, they backed just the two horses, really. Like, it was two-way traffic, and the rest were just completely gapped. So Bold Bastille was about a 7% firm from about Wednesday, and Drifting was a 10% firmer. So, yeah, it was a a race in two, pretty much. That's what the market thought. And, out of this race, I'd be wanting to follow Drifting just because they might drop it back in class. And it might, the rating here is, Bob Bastille gave away 2 kilos and was sort of running away from it a little bit at the end. But it's still a really good run for a horse that was coming off a 900 meter run. So,
and the market loved Drifting late, late.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did late. It was off the mat. I was sort of umming and ahhing about backing Bold Bastille, but I didn't in the end. I didn't want to back a horse. It was like, you know, the parade wasn't perfect, and it's a 2-year-old pulling up of a lame run last time, and it wasn't exactly firm. It was firm enough, but it wasn't being really well backed. I just thought I'd let the race go by, but the race has gone really well, and I guess they go to the Golden Slipper, and on ratings, Bold Bastille is somewhat.
I don't think they'll go to the Slipper.
Yeah, well, if typically if you have a horse this good at this time of year, you go to the Slipper, but I just don't think she's quite made for it. I think she's just maybe 1100 meter horse, but yeah, she's fast. That's for sure.
These colours did win the Moya Stakes of a few years ago with Coolum Gadda. You think she's a similar sort of mould?
I don't know. I don't know. That's probably not the worst comparison ever. I think Coolum Gadda was definitely better at this point in time. That was obviously a bad year for 2-year-olds, and this is a good one. So I haven't actually checked the numbers on that, but maybe that's a fair comparison, to be honest. But I just automatically thought like an 1100 meters around Caulfield as a 3-year-old filly, when Dosh was beaten by Saboteur XL, she reminds me of race sort of like that.
Yeah, and she'll probably get in on low 50 kilos, something like that.
Yeah.
Jamie would probably have to go on rather than MZ. All right, let's go to race 6, benchmark 84 over the mile. I reckon I only backed 3 winners for the whole day, and these were two of them, Bold Bastille and Another Wheel, so that says how good I went. Another Wheel has bolted in here. He has sat OSL on a pretty leisurely tempo, like nothing too sinister. They've gone even enough, and he's just way too good for this lot. 55.5 kilos, so he's going to have to go up in the weights, or he's going to have to step up in grade next start. But what'd you make of this win? It was pretty painless.
Yeah, this is the Doncaster horse. He's very good. Like, obviously, like, no one's going to miss him. He's won by, how far has he won by? About 5 lengths, 4.5 lengths. So, yeah, he sat on top of the speed. The pace wasn't quick. It was even. It was slightly below average. And just like the last 400 meters is. Yeah, that he ran the fastest closing splits of the meeting, and just enormous time, and he's much better than this. The rating doesn't reflect what he will be. It's a moment in time, but I'd say in about 6 months' time he'll be a wait for age horse. Maybe I was underselling him, saying he was going to win the Herbert Power. He might be lining up in a Cox Plate next year.
Yeah. So
maybe that's getting carried away. But
what do they need to do to get into a Doncaster? Because they've obviously got to win another. They've got to win another race. There's no way you can get in on the rating he's at right now. So
they can't get in winning. Going to the All Star Mile, because that's special conditions race, isn't it? So
it doesn't boost your rating.
No, it doesn't. So they, if they want to, the Doncaster is definitely the better option for them, because they'd have to run into Mr. Brightside and he's progressive, but at this point in time, that's not happening. So, I'd probably take him to a how long to the Doncaster? 4 weeks, something, or 4 or 5 weeks.
Let's check this right now. Yeah, is it day one or day two of the championships? I'm pretty sure it's day two.
I don't know. Anyway, so he'll go to a race in about 2 weeks' time, I would have thought, and he'll win it, and then he'll go to the Doncaster with the lightweight. And if he improves, like he's run 95.6. I saw Dan O'Sullivan had him running about 98. So,
not 6th of April, so it is day one.
All right. So
still a month away. So he needs to find something in 2 weeks.
Or maybe 3 weeks, and then he can back up.
Yeah, true.
Jeez, that'd be a good sort of scenario. If he's on the minimum, on the backup, you could just see him being completely off the map. Just the bots were just like just non-stop clicking. The bots would just absolutely love that.
He'll be one of those ones. He'll be one of those horses that is like, you know, under $10 in the market in the futures, but he hasn't even got a run yet.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you'd want to back him, you'd have to, he's got to win two races to even get in, sort of thing.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Anything else on another Will? Another bot, as we like to call him?
Yeah, he's just a good horse. He can go forward and he'll stay. He'll stay further, 100%. He'd run a mile and a half. That's what's so exciting about him, because he's like, he's Will John, who's his brother, is literally a jumper. So, yeah, he's very exciting. I think he'd run a mile and a half easily. So, yeah, I don't want to get too carried away with him, but he's an exciting horse.
Yeah, absolutely. There is the Doncaster Prelude, which is the week before on the 30th of March, Group 3, 1500. So I'm not sure if he'd be able to get into that race, but that's probably something they've got their eyes on.
Mm.
Let's go to race 7, the English Sprint, 1200 metres for the three-year-olds, and they threw $1 million at these horses. A lot of these will never see that sort of money ever again, I wouldn't have thought. But Estriella, she was a well-backed favourite. She started $3.20. She's shown great versatility these last two starts. Last start at Caulfield, she got back, showed a brilliant turn of foot. This time around, she's led them up here on a fast tempo. They've sort of gone 8.4 fast to the 600. They've still broken benchmark on the way home. Great, great win. Robrick was awesome up along the inside. And Caballos, he was solid enough without raving. But Estriella, the market definitely got this spot on.
Yeah, the market loved it, and fair enough to it. It knocked me off. I thought Caballos was the better one of the two, but no, that was definitely Estriella. She's on an upward trajectory, and I'd be surprised if this is her ceiling. She's run 97.3 at the weight for age here, and Robrick has finished off really well. That they went quite quickly here through the start to about the 400 meters. They've gone really, really quickly, and they've fallen off a little bit last 400 metres, but Robrick is obviously looking for further now. I think he's a nice enough horse, but he needs to improve to like seriously be considered in this is a $1 million race. What else is a million? Like one of those 1400 metre Caulfield races. He's not up to that yet, but.
Well, some of these will be eligible for the Golden Eagle once the new season turns over. I don't know if some will be good enough for that, but they'd be looking at it for sure.
Mm. Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's a Golden Eagle sort of horse, but like probably 50s for that.
Yeah. What's your gut feel, Estriella? Do you think she's just a sprinter?
Yeah. She's a sprinter.
They wouldn't stretch to 14?
Oh, maybe they could stretch to 14 if they really wanted to. I'm sure she's capable of running to at least her form, but I think she's better suited over the 14.
Definitely. The 12, you mean?
Yeah, the 12, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to agree as well.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know what to say about these, really. They're not that good, I don't think.
Roy Cokie was an interesting one, sort of won the week before and then came here and sort of just whacked away okay.
Yeah, well, he got away with that race a bit last time.
Is that a pox on the Zetative or maybe just had all favours last time around and Brave Me should have belted it?
Yeah. It was a case of that. But like, all of, like there's not much between all of these. Like, if there's a nice – 3-year-old coming through a maiden at the midweeks and it wins by 4 or 5 lengths. Like it's up to these.
Yeah. No, Estriella is still the one to take out of it. You would have thought though.
Oh, 100%. But she's not winning any group ones or anything. I wouldn't have thought, but she's like a listed filly, group filly.
Yeah. All right. Let's move straight on to race 8, the Australian Guineas over the mile, group 1 3-year-olds. Southport Tycoon, I want to vomit in my mouth because I backed this horse at $6, all in last start, went around $1.90, got beat by Snow Patrol, has ended up getting the PR here. But they went faster than I first thought looking at it live. They've gone 10 fast to the 600 almost. And the overall punting form benchmark figure is really good. It's 13.3 lengths above the all average benchmark, which is sort of 2 lengths better than average for this class. V8 has run another great V8 race. He's just a consistent performer, but probably the end of a mile sees him out. Riff Rocket, I thought he was just a tad flatter second up, which often happens with these 2,000-meter horses coming back second up after sprinting well fresh, and Quintessa was solid as well.
Yeah, the pace was strong. They really took off between the 800 and the 600. Sorry, but at the 800 and the 400, they really quickened the pace significantly. And yeah, I think it's rated up to standard of an Australian Guineas. So it's rated pretty well actually, which is kind of surprising because. Southport Tycoon won from V8, and I just sort of thought, I thought the only way this race was going to go at least up to average was Riff Rocket winning. And like you said, it was sickening. It's actually Betfair SP was $25. I saw it after the race, and I was looking pre-race, and it was $16 most of the corpse, and like that was about 1 or 2 minutes before the jump, and I was. Like I had it $12, and I was like, "Oh, I'll leave it." Because it was one of the ones.
How has it run a strong mall?
I don't know. Like it always gave the indication that it was like it was a strong. It was a 1,400-meter horse. I could stretch it a mile. It was never a sprinter.
We definitely have underrated this horse. I remember the first time me thinking like. Shit, this horse is actually pretty good, is when it won its second ever start and I was on Akasita.
Yeah.
Akasita looked to have it absolutely done cold, and it just kicked back and won like a pretty good horse. And then it obviously got within a nose of Stepardi, and then the Caulfield Guineas was probably a forgive, but...
Yeah. The first time
I don't know how this has gone around. Like, you're kicking yourself, aren't you? I'm like, half completely. Of me saying, how did it run a strong 16 and win it, and half of me saying, how have I not had a cent on?
Oh, I'm like 25 is Betfair SP, and I had it $12. I'm just like, what the fuck am I doing? But like, you know, I think that was just mainly because the market, like real late, the Betfair players were just smashing V8 because he was the one they came for really late. Riff Rocket was a bit soft. He was sort of 240 out to 280 late on Betfair.
To be honest, I thought he'd start even longer than that though.
Yeah, I didn't end up even backing Riff Rocket because I had it as my best bet on the Thursday, and I was sort of looking at Tab Toucher had it $3, and I was sort of just umming and ahhing, do I want to take this or just wait for Saturday? And I ended up waiting, thank God, and it disappeared. It was like 240 most, and then it sort of just drifted up. But like yeah, like it was never like I wanted like 320 something like that, but it never ended up. Getting it.
One of the big stories was obviously King Colorado. He was the big drifter in the market, and they've got it spot on, really. I know his map was awkward from that barrier, but still, he hasn't done a whole lot here.
Yeah, well, he's put up with EIPH, so it's fair enough.
I definitely missed that.
I ended up just backing Snow Patrol. I just had something smaller.
Yeah.
Whatever.
What'd you think? Him and Otago... Probably all just came up a bit too soon.
It's sick because I backed Snow Patrol and he knocked me off when I was on Southport Tycoon with you. And then I backed Snow Patrol and Southport Tycoon's one. So
it's one of the better losing $6 bets I've ever had, that Southport Tycoon last start.
Riff Rocket next start, I guess. Because he wasn't bad. Like he was probably too far off the speed on a day that was definitely an advantage be on speed. So like maybe if they go up to 2,000, so they'll probably go
straight to the Rose Hill. Yeah,
I think they've been the idea of trying to take on the Australian Cup horses. Yeah, they're not going to beat Brightside and Gold Trip in a million years.
So you reckon he can? Militarize at 2,000?
He'd need to improve. Like the signs were there first up, like that he's improved heaps, but he's come off it a bit. So, yeah, like you would have at least liked to see him match it to really want to get stuck into him to beat Militarize next up. So, Yeah, the splits were just too. They're nothing really special, I think. I don't know.
He looked like a stayer in the run home.
He did a bit, yeah. But I guess he was just really good fresh, and sometimes those they can do that, those resuming stays, they can look really good, run really well fresh. Maybe he just needs to have his runs spaced, I guess. Mm. Maybe that's an option for him, for Chris Weller, but you know, he's their conditioner, so
yeah.
I wouldn't say second trainer like, tactically, but he's their conditioner.
Second up syndrome. It is a real thing.
Oh, that's with some
horses.
Thing.
With no, some horses not. It can be. Race 9. There was no second up syndrome here for the Chris Weller trained a tissue. She returned back to headquarters, the place she loves best. And Blake Shin, this is one of the all-time rides going forward from barrier 10, taking advantage of a slow early tempo. And it's been a little bit too good for Holy Man's, ran well. Ayrton was obviously the big, big, he was a moral beaten, let's be honest.
Siobhan. Oh my God.
Macron ran well again, and Carini was really well back 750 into 480. But
he was completely off the map. Carini, that was ridiculous. I left the betting ring just to go watch it in the stands, and like Carini was like $7. I was looking at my phone, $7 Betfair, and I got to my seat and I checked Betfair on my phone, and it was like $4.80. It was like, what the fuck just happened? And it was because Ed was literally $10 the exchange. I was like, I'd literally just taken 650, and I thought, oh, that's fucking great betting. And then I go and sit down, and it's $10 the exchange. It's like, what? How has this happened? Anyway. Yeah, so
did I would have loved how, to see. How do they know? How do they, 2 minutes before a race starts, barrier 14 into $4.80 from 750, sits second.
Maybe there was...
Was fourth and then was second in the run at one stage.
Maybe there was a word around that it was going forward. I guess that was... Or maybe because it went forward second up last time.
Walkie-talkies.
I don't know. But they knew it was going forward, and they also knew a tissue was going forward. So, or at least... Like, that's another thing. Like, gee, you'd like to see a change of tactics. It would have been helpful, but... Yeah, I've had a complete strip out at this point in the day, and then I've backed it and it's been held up the entire straight, and it should have won by like two lengths. Matt, that's over exaggerating, but it should have won.
Should have won by a length.
Yeah, maybe half a length. I don't know. Macron was really good. It backed up its first up run, so it wasn't as flashy as its first up run. Maybe that's just with it was. Fresh first up, but it backed it up.
Macron, it doesn't do it twice.
it did do it twice. So I'm thinking if it goes to 2000, the problem is I think it might go to the Australian Cup and it's none. So that's the problem.
Go to a Donny lads, surely.
Doncaster with Macron.
Yeah, why not?
No, he's a. I was. He was the first emergency in the Caulfield Cup, and I was seriously thinking about backing him. He was he was a moral beaten that day behind Saracen Knight in the Herbert Power when they took him way too far back, and I backed him at 30s and he was a moral beaten. But
was that when you and I watched the race with the Hayes boys? Or was I by myself?
I can't remember.
I remember watching that race at Caulfield and they were sitting in front of me and they just had their head in their hands.
Yeah, well, go forward, mate. Not that hard. if he goes to 2,000 meters in like a group three race or something, or he's on track to win something. It's just not the Australian Cup because he's not that good. Berkeley Square was really good too. Carini was good as well. He's on track. They backed him. He was off the map, but he also just ran to form really. So he ran the exact same rating he did second up last prep. So maybe there's not as much. Upside as the market sort of thought. But
what do you think of some of these resuming stays? I know some of them sort of just whacked away, but
yeah, they were at the back and they went slowly here. They didn't go too quickly.
A good horse. I'm convinced he's a good horse.
Yeah. But he was given none the way the race was run, and the last 800 was nice work. So he'll find a 2400 meter race and he'll win it sometime this preparation. Yeah, he's a good horse, 100%. Yeah, he'll win something this preparation. Don't know what yet, but he'll definitely win something.
Yep. All right. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about on the program? I backed Illitiv in race three, and the Flemington camera angle had me thinking I won, and that was a bit sickening. So anyway,
race five
gets a dub again. Race five, happened in race five, mate.
No.
That was race five. Yeah. Sorry, I thought it was race three. Anything else you want to talk about on the car before you go to Randwick?
Waltz on by can win something. I don't know what, but it resumed really well. Nice splits behind Sans Doute. And
Sans Doute threw its head around during that race and still won pretty comfortably.
Oh, how far Tin took it. Oh, my goodness. Why would you not run there?
Yeah, perhaps.
No. Anyway.
Well, let's go over to Royal Randwick. It didn't look that royal on Saturday, mate, because...
Oh, yeah, I saw this. What was the go there? What are they doing?
So what I've heard is they've overwatered the track.
Yeah, why? Didn't
they got a bit of rain on Saturday, which they're always... Like, I was looking at the schedule and there was always a chance of some rain. And they got that rain. And the track has just fallen apart. Like, it was like the choppiest. Like, there were lanes in play. There were like it looked like it was racing. I don't know. You might be able to tell us of the times. I reckon the times are slow, and it was racing a lot worse than a good four downgraded to a soft five, especially in some parts.
No, it looks like it's just raced like a four.
Really?
Yeah.
Visually.
That's what it says.
Visually, I don't know, maybe the winners still ran good time, but I feel like a lot of horses on the day have not handled this track.
I guess it's just shifty ground, but the track was still racing. Like, it's got the foundation under the grass or whatever. I don't know. But they're running fast enough times to call it a good four across the day.
Well, that's interesting because I want to get your take of Stormboy in race four. It was the Skyline Stakes 1,200 metres group two for the two-year-old Colton Geldings. It's a good win. He has led here. He's done a few things wrong. He's fought a little bit slow away, got his mouth open. J-Max just clicked him up, hasn't really got to the bottom of him, and he's pulled away for a nice win. Beats Prost by a length and a half. Divana was third and Parkour in fourth. What do you think? This is just a nice platform race?
Yeah, it's perfect. It's not he's not a turn of foot horse. Like they didn't go quickly here. Mm. He was still quickened well enough to beat them, but he's more strength. Like he's a miler to, I'd say he's probably a miler in time. He's not a squibby 1200 meter horse. He's not gonna quicken and beat them by five. He's like he did what he did in the Magic Millions where they went quickly and he ran them into the ground, and the last 200 meters he was still quickening. Like he's all strength. He's not squibby.
Higher pressure in the slipper is going to really bring out the best of him, like we saw in the 2-year-old Millions.
I think it, like, people are saying like it's not going to be good for him because he'll miss the start and whatever, blah blah blah. Gay's got that many horses, the place is going to be quick. If he sits three lengths off the speed and comes off him, he's just going to stay on, like, he's just going to go right past him. The rating here is not, like, it's not anything special. It's fine. But it's a platform. Who cares? Gay Waterhouse is the best trainer in Australia by that far. It's not funny. When you give her the ammunition, she'll use it. If she got the horses that, like, the Hawks people, what are they called? John and Wayne Hawks. If she got the horses they've been getting for the last however long, jeez. Yeah. she gets good horses, don't get me wrong, but she doesn't typically get the million-dollar lots and all that sort of stuff, so.
You know, the good thing about this win in terms of going to the Golden Slipper is you're probably going to get 270 on the day for this horse, 250, you know, in that range.
Yeah, I don't know. Slipper. He hasn't blown him away or anything. Like, he's run a similar number He's run better than what Bold Pastille has, but he hasn't run like a number that's like blowing them away. Maybe that's some query, like, because he's got three ratings that don't win the slipper, and he's got one maybe, and it's and that the one was in a not it was a the track is up to some people have different opinions on it, like how the track raced and stuff because of how fast it was, but. Maybe that's some query, but yeah, the form's stood up, so yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he's still clearly number one seed for me, and I'll be having him for a large result on the day.
Yeah, right. He's fine. It's not a negative or anything. If he draws wide, like people are saying, if he draws 15, he's slow away. J-Mac's riding, or J-Mac or Ryan Moore will ride him. They'll slot him.
You'd take short odds Ryan Moore, wouldn't you?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
What do you think of...
No problem.
Sorry. Moving on to race six. What do you think of the fillies? Obviously, this division looks a fair bit weaker, but Manal was able to win at a pretty short price. Came from off the speed, given a really well-timed ride by Tommy Berry. This horse obviously won the Gym Crack on debut, ran second to Lady of Camelot, albeit was flogged. Two starts back, yeah. And has won nicely here, but you don't really get the feeling that this is a slipper form.
No, it's not. It's a bit off that, but I think Fly Fly is a nice horse, but for something weaker. Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing. Yeah, it's a pretty. These are the B graders. The fillies aren't as good as the colts this year, yep. Which is, I don't know.
In Sydney, anyway.
Yeah,
they dominate. Yeah. They dominate the diamond.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
All right. Race seven, the very elegant stakes. Lots to talk about here. Think About It has been able to upstage Fangirl. I know we call it it's an upset result, but this horse has been a bit of a, I used to call him Mr. Consistent because he's been a great horse for a very long time. He actually beat Fangirl in the spring in the seven stakes. And Zaki.
It's very similar race.
Yeah, in the fact that Fangirl has drawn barrier 8 of 8. She's gone back. James McDonald is probably rode a lot too arrogant here and just been given too much to do and think it over. Nashua Willa, awesome ride going up the rail. Nothing wrong with that ground there and it's been too good.
Yep. How many group ones do you reckon... Fangirl would have won if Gay Waterhouse trained it.
Five.
A lot of them. A lot more than what she has won. Anyway, they went slowly. She quickened well. There was nothing wrong with how she performed at all. She'll peak third up, fourth up. She's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. I hate seeing people like, I shouldn't care about it, but like people are like on Twitter saying like, oh, she's no, like, you know, like the Winx comparisons were stupid. Like no one's actually comparing her to Winx. The first up run was,
it looked like Winx.
Well, no. And the thing was that the data backed it up too. Like Winx would run that race first up. What she did was very similar to what Winx would do.
It was Winx like, but no one's calling her Winx.
No.
If that makes sense.
She's run 105 first up, and the splits were ridiculous. That's something Winx would do.
Yeah.
She's obviously not going to keep improving and keep doing that. But like the way she did it first up, anyway, J-Mac gave her way too much to do. The ride was ridiculous. She's not inconsistent, but the way she's ridden is inconsistent. And I think if you want to back her, you just got to pick and choose the days that you do because of tactics, I guess. You could just negate that and just ride her efficiently. But
the funny thing is she drew barrier 8 of 8. It was a soft 5 track and it was a little bit shifty. Everyone knew she'd be last and everyone knew she'd be spotting the leader 6 lengths at least. She's still going around $1.30, which says how big an opinion the market has about this horse, especially now that she's put down a few sort of 105 ratings at Wave Race.
Yeah, she's... Yeah, if she gets her chance, she's a 105. She'll run 105 a lot of the time. She, like, if you keep riding her to make up 10 lengths at the 800 meters, she's not going to run 105 because it's just not how it works. But in the Queen Elizabeth, if she draws inside, then the track's
she goes to the George Ryder next, 1500. Yeah. We'll see how I think about it goes in the Canterbury Stakes over 1300, but it's a potentially mouth-watering match race between those two at 1500 at Rose Hill in a few weeks.
Yeah, that's interesting. We'll see what he does, but yeah, let's like talk if he a bit, goes up favourite versus her, then
yeah, I doubt it, but who knows? If he wins well this Saturday, then perhaps. Let's talk about the winner a little bit more. The improvement that he's made from first up to second up, added fitness. He's turned around a fair margin on Fangirl from 14 to 16. What do you think? Do you think he can get back to somewhere near the peaks that he showed a few years ago?
Well, he pretty much is back to the peaks he's known for. Like, he's not – that's pretty much what he does. He's running 103 here. His best ever run was the Queen Elizabeth when he beat Zaki on the heavy 11 that day. He ran his best number, pretty much. Not his best, but he's run close enough to his best form. Yeah, like that's
some training.
It's a credit to Kerry Parker and the horse, and then the ride was genius by Nash Rilla. He was there was nothing wrong with the inside, obviously, and he came up the inside, and yeah. That's but why it's I'm really, really good training. Nash says. Yeah,
that's why I'm one of the best in Sydney.
Yeah, you can back it up.
I thought Cascadian was good. He's been given an all-star mile slot. Obviously, he's been given too much to do here.
How old is he now? Is he 10?
Let's check how old he is.
Doesn't matter, but
he's 9.
So he's 8.5 or something.
He's another one coming off an injury as well that Godolphin have kept quiet, I think.
Yeah. Well, obviously, he was away for a while.
Yeah, Lindemann will go up and trip, I would imagine.
He was okay.
Yeah, he was solid. I don't think he's any superstar, but I think the market knows that.
He was blessed by the pace of the race, but like he often will be because we race in Australia over these sorts of distances.
Yep. All right, anything else? Think It Over. What are you thinking? So next start in a Randvit, Think It Over goes to 2,000 metres versus Buckaroo. Is it Chips in Think It Over?
I don't know about Chips in, but he'd be favourite.
All right.
What about Cascadian? Would Cascadian be there?
No, because he's going All-Star Mile. Yeah, he's going All-Star Mile on the 23rd. No, on the 16th. Mm. I don't have the Sydney calendar in my head as good as Melbourne. Mm. I'd have to check that. Let's go to race 8, the Surround Stakes, 1,400 metres, Tropical Squall, another Gaybot leader. Wins first up here. Done a really nice job, gone around at 850. Steffi Magnetica, maybe that SP wasn't wrong at Flemington a few starts ago, has done a blinder, $17. You can say the same about Tutta La Vita. Has gone around, I'm pretty sure, 160-1 on BSP on Betfair.
170,
there you go. Learning to Fly was just a little bit flat. It actually did a few things wrong in the run, which really pissed me off. And Roll On High has made an excellent return, but just had way too much to do in that shifty ground and from a long way back.
Yeah, she was – Roland High was good. She's – her and Tutta La Vita are the ones to follow for the Oaks's.
Vinery first, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, whatever. Vinery, I guess. Roland, I don't think Roland High will go to the Oaks, but she'll stretch to 2,000. And she's really a good horse, and Tutta La Vita ran a career peak first up, so that's – it's nice to see for Chris Waller. So she'll follow that path. And, they'll all race themselves. Zardozi wasn't great. That's concerning for her backing up the...
I think you just put a line through it.
Maybe. Maybe the splits are okay, but she did finish second last. Probably given not much chance against horses that are quicker than her, but... I guess she sort of did the same thing last preparation. Like, she was out the back of the field in the 14, but once she got out to the mile and a half, she
100%. And she got better and better as the preparation went on. She won a Wakeful. She ran second in Wakeful. Yuck. And then she won on the back up in the Oak. So, I don't know. I would just be forgiving of this run and see how she goes over further.
Yeah. But Tutta La Vita was really good. And she's always had a bit of... she's always been like a sectionally sort of horse that looks like she'll improve as a as an older mare or older filly.
Yep.
But yeah.
Should we talk about the winner a bit more? I remember messaging the group chat. I messaged in, are we forgetting about Tropical Squall here? And when I sent that, I sort of thought there was a bit bigger price than $7 available, and there wasn't, but nonetheless, I probably still should have had something on. This is a horse who had dominant SPs, sort of $2.05 in an Ethereal when it was beaten at 2000, probably didn't stay in the Oaks.
Well, she beat all these horses. She's already beaten all of them. So
yeah, except she's probably, she's probably more a miler when you really think about it.
Yeah. Like, as in like in the flight stakes.
Yep. Exactly right. Mm. Mm. Anything else about this race?
No.
Learning to Fly was disappointing. I know she's only been beaten.
She got keen, didn't she?
Yeah, she did, but
still, it wasn't like she looked. She regressed off the first stop run, which is concerning. Maybe they had her like really wound up first up off a long break, and maybe it's just all downhill from here.
Yeah, and I don't think we paid enough credit to like the ride that Chad Schofield gave it first up was just like gave her every chance to run as well as she did, and then this start she just pulled her head off, and she just can't afford to do that going to 1400 meters at Group One level.
Mm.
But nonetheless, disappointing.
Mm.
All right, I think that's about it. The guy Walter Hinged has gone around 280.
Oh, who cares?
Beaten a lip.
Who cares?
Yeah, that's pretty snooze fest. Hell hath no fury. That was a massive go for this horse.
Who?
Hell Hath No Fury was 15s into 950, like even longer. Like
it was, it opened
right 50s. Jump. Yeah, it like smashed, 59. Smashed at the death, because no one really wanted to back Hinged at $2.50.
Yeah,
and everyone was just looking for something fair to beat enough. Her. Osbred Flirt missed the start. Like blew it completely. Jewess, no one really wanted to back because it was 1400 meters first up, and this is the horse they've landed on. They're just too good. Too good.
Yeah. And it's run a career peak by about, well, like, genuinely, like, what's that, like, 2.5 lengths?
Yeah. And Annabelle. Oh, it's been with Annabelle for a few preps now.
Mm.
But it was Danny O'Brien initially.
Mm. I don't know. Who cares?
Who cares? Not me. Anything else? Oh, New Energy. One of the runs of the day in the last.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think the race, that went really quickly, and I think it all just... It was the last 400 meters was it was definitely there was something there, but I think it was a bit of everything else falling to pieces because they went so quickly, and he was just staying on, which is good because he was first up, I guess. But it's like one of those visual trap ones. Everything's just falling in a hole, and it's staying over the top of them with an efficient run. So maybe it'll be overbet next start.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm.
All right, a couple of questions before we wrap up.
Sure, I'll give a bet at Sandown. I don't know if you want to take any from me at the moment, but
Quickstar should win. Hard to beat.
Yeah, it's hard to beat. It's $1.60. yes, it's $1.60. Sure, that's not the one I'm going to tip though. Freight Train in the last run, massive splits at Pakenham. The last 200 meters was enormous. It's well bred. It's pretty colours. It's a horse that's established a level at its first start. That's not too far off some of these, and it's and the section will say it's going to go a whole lot higher than that. So there's a couple of these like Inevitable Awards, single figures. What else is there? So Sleek is. There was something there. Glow. Yeah, there was something there last up. Like if you really look into the sectionals, I guess, but still I don't want to be on it. Midnight Glow's good, but the Freight Train's going places and the rest aren't, I think.
Yeah. What were your thoughts on Quickstar? Do you think Blake Shin might try and ride it a bit more aggressively from 10, or do you reckon?
It would have been good if they rode it aggressively last time.
It's interesting. I wonder if Billy's been booted.
Is it again?
It's race two.
Yeah,
surely surely it just wins. 1300 hillside.
It's a nice filly. definitely a nice filly. The splits it ran last time were ridiculous. But,
yeah, enormous.
Not good enough to reel in the winner anyway. So. That was a bit of the track, and I don't even think the ride was too bad. Maybe he just missed the boat a little bit. The winner, the Fury, it's a nice enough horse.
Yeah.
It's Saturday grade at least anyway.
Yeah. All right, a couple of questions. We got two sets of questions, and we got some Twitter questions as well. We'll go to the Twitter questions first. On the Drift podcast, is Hot Nash better than he thinks he is? Isn't I don't know. This question doesn't really make sense, but in brackets, we think he is. I'll read out exactly how it's spelled out. Is Hot Nash the better than he think he is? In brackets, we think he is. I don't know what to say to that. He's very good.
Yeah, he's a pretty good jockey. I don't get to bet on him, unfortunately. But that's all right.
Lethal Punting, thoughts on Orchestral and Another Will? We've said our thoughts on Another Will. Orchestral is probably one we didn't talk about.
Yeah, she just has to... I saw her win. That's the Derby. That's a mile and a half over there, isn't it?
Yes, 2400.
So she has to come back in.
Yeah.
Back to 2000 for the Vinery. How far is the Vinery away?
2000. Oh, the Vinery is a couple of weeks.
Okay, so they've got to keep her up. Yeah. Okay, so they've got to keep her up a while, and then. Yeah, geez, all right. So she's probably more of a Caulfield Cup horse. Like, they're talking Cox Plate. She's probably more of a Caulfield Cup horse.
Yep. Speaking of around cool. the grounds, that's given me just a reminder that I just wanted to mention one race at Sha Tin. Obviously, the Hong Kong Classic Cup, four-year-old 1800 Helios Express was able to win at $1.60. This horse is still doing a lot wrong and is still over-racing a little bit. So in time, I think he's a miler, but Bowman is sort of conserving him, and just he's been a little bit lucky that he's had a few PRs. Bowman probably could have let him stride a little bit early, but he probably was just a little bit cautious that he didn't want the horse to overrace. So in the end, he's ended up getting the job done, but he's only beaten Ching Chang Glory by sort of half a head to a nose, and it was 50-1. So is this going to be the Derby form? Helios Express needs to extend his form out to 2,000 metres again. He's obviously going to be a short price favorite, but a horse that did burst onto the scene on Sunday only a few starts later was a first starter in Hong Kong named Massive Sovereign. Zach Purton rode this horse, and I think he's the big, big Derby Smoky. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see the 2,000 meter race in a few weeks. Chili Chibi also ran very well from probably an impossible position in the end. So, yeah, Helios Express, he'll be looking to win all three of the four-year-old series races, but gee, you don't want to be taking $1.60 if he's going to do the same thing. All right, back to questions. Oz Trunart, does Storm Boy get a pass mark, or was he a little underwhelming?
It's fine.
Yeah, definitely.
He was just strong. He's not squibby. He's strong.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Have you seen the nominations for that race in Sydney this week?
Which one?
What's the name of it?
Todman?
Is it the Todman? Yeah, the Todman. No, Espionage, Straight Charge, $3.50, equal favourites from Switzerland, $4, Shangri-La Express, $6, Bodyguard, $11. So hot, hot race.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good race.
Yeah, you imagine whatever wins that will be starting second favourite in
Espionage.
Slipper. All right. Coops Irwin, who was the better horse out of Jimmy Star and Another Will? Sorely, Another Will.
At this point, Jimmy Star, but yeah, I'll say Jimmy Star at this point, but I don't know.
I'll say Another Will.
In time, maybe Another Will, but at this point, Jimmy Star still run a better rating.
Yeah. Who's excited for a Sharipa Masterclass this weekend, says Coops, #, manifesting. Hope so. Hopefully you can run a great race, run at $26. Jason Rocky.
I had a look at the noms before that you could have Imperatrix odds on, honestly, next week.
Seriously. There's going to be proper fireworks on Thursday night, so tune in.
You, Can I say the reason you and Nick reckon she's going to get beat? Or are we going to leave that for the
preview? No, there's lots of different reasons why I think she might get beat.
Oh, God. Nico reckons she's going to get beat because it's hot on Saturday. Come on.
Yeah, it's a factor. It's a factor.
Oh, no.
But I'm a lot more concerned about the weights than a lot of people are going to be.
I'm not. She'll run her number and she'll, like, magic time and Espiona. Oh, my goodness. If she has to beat those. I thought Private Eye was running. I was like, oh, maybe she's like a 250 chance. Private Eye's there. Private Eye's not even running. It's got to beat Magic Time and Espiona and Sharipa too.
Why are you disregarding Buenos Noches so easily?
He got smashed in Sydney. He got beaten by... Who did he even get beat by? I don't know.
King of Sparta and co.
Yeah, he got beaten by King of Sparta. We're talking about Imperatrix.
Blinkers on, Blake Shin on.
Oh, they'd want to go on.
Jason Rocky, can you explain how the rail position works for the people who don't understand? It's a good question. I can sort of explain it. So basically the track staff, they move the rail out so that section of the track can recover. And obviously when horses run over it, depending on what the conditions outside are, it gets chopped up. If it rains, it gets really, really chopped up. It can also have the opposite effect when it is like rock hard and it's hot outside. The ground can compact and that can create fast lanes. And basically they just like to move that rail out and let that ground have a rest, sort of treat it and do a few things to it, scarify it, just so they get it prepared for their feature meeting. So often you'll see they go true 2 meters, 4 meters, 6 meters sort of, and just go out further and further so they can protect that inside ground for feature racing, basically. There is an exact science to it, but probably better off getting a Liam O'Keefe or a Marty Swinon to explain it. Ryan Deeth, would you prefer to be 6 wide no cover or 5 deep the fence? Definitely 5 deep the fence.
5 deep the fence.
Ben, would synthetic or filler help me on the running track? No, you need Jesus. But would you ever take voice infection classes or voice inflection?
Sure.
All right, and then we go over to the second question box. Bot, can you review Terrain Race 3 you see you next Tuesday?
Oh,
Bot, what happened to this horse? You labelled it.
I thought it'd win at Terrain today. I backed, what was it called? I don't even know what it's called. It's another Will's little brother or sister, little sister.
Yeah, well, it went like Will John.
Yeah.
It went like Will John today.
Yeah. It was wired the whole way. I don't really care about it being wired, but it sort of just like travelled into it like it was going to win by 500 metres and it just sort of
Stu's tipped it to the whole Wolf Den crew and then he hasn't taken the blame for it.
Yes. Yeah. If it won, he would 100% taken credit for it too. Tamaheen is
what its name is. I told my subs to have a mug multi, but you know what, Stu? I didn't blame it on anyone else.
My God. Yeah. Anyway.
Tice says RD equals smoke show. Yes, he's quickly challenging GURP for the best selfies in the game. I think I saw your poll in the group chat, Bot. I think GURP still got him, but he's snapping at the heels. The King of Officer. Fuck. Which horse will be the big letdown in 2024 and who will surprise in 2024? Do you want to think about that one quickly?
I'm Unstoppable or Cylinder because they're both no good.
And who will
all of the 3-year-olds. And I don't know. Another Will.
Another Will surprise.
Sort of out of the bag now, so.
Yeah. The big letdown of 2024 will be Tom Kitten. He's not that good. Everyone seems to think he's not that good. But I don't know. The market still seems to have a really big opinion of him. I honestly think Celestial Legend and Militarize will spank him. And the horse who will surprise. Who's a horse that will surprise? Let me come back to that one. I'll come back to that one. Tice, how good a photo finishes? So I don't know if we should be saying this, but I don't think Keats won the hell of a street. I don't think it was a dead heat. I think he lost and they've got it wrong. But log on to the Taz Racing website and see what you think for yourself. But Tice spent like 4 days celebrating a loss. We're convinced of it.
Yeah.
But who do you hate more, Hedged or Reinberg or Max from Tyson Hunter?
It's dead heat between Max and Hedged. I like Reinberg. He's likable.
And Sam Badalato, last question. 2 Doncaster miles, nearly a Cox plate, more prize money than Animo. Why am I the only one who says Mr. B is a champion? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. Like, if he's around for another 2 seasons, then fair enough. Sure.
Yeah, I think he'll definitely get the champion tag by the time his career is sort of over.
Yeah.
All right, I've got one. A horse who will surprise in 2024. Bot just absolutely shamed this horse before, but Esfiona. I think she's a good horse.
What is she going to do?
She's going to go to Royal Ascot. She's going to go to Royal Ascot, and she's going to—I should probably say Ascot, not Ascot, like an Aussie. I'll get told off by little English people.
Yeah.
Espiona, she'll run top 3 in the Newmarket, and she'll run top 3 at Royal Ascot. There you go. She can surprise.
No, she won't.
She can, mate. They're not that good. They're sprinters.
They're better than her.
Maybe. We'll soon find out. I hope they go there, though. I hope they do.
Mm.
All right, let's wrap it up there. Again, apologies for the lateness of this podcast. You're probably listening to it on a Wednesday, which is way too late for a review, but we'll get it up a lot quicker in the coming weeks, and we've got a cracking preview podcast in store for you this week for the Newmarket with the King, Kingsley from the Wolf Den. Go download their app. Give it a follow and watch some of their content now on racing.com, which is brilliant to see. All right, thanks, Bot. See you on Thursday. Deja vu, and when we spoke for months, what did you ever mean?